And so let's come now to the preaching of God's word. The title of the sermon, A New Voice. And you can see there the text that I've indicated for the sermon from Ephesians 4, 25 through to 5:17. The congregation of our Lord and Saviour, let me ask you now a question that I know the answer to, and it's this. Do you have a tongue? And so at home, you can probably be fairly free to do this. You can even stick your tongue out, but certainly move it around your mouth. The anatomy of your tongue is a marvel of detailed design. This muscle on the floor of the mouth manipulates food, as we know, to enable us to chew and to swallow. It's the primary organ of taste. Its upper surface is covered in papillae. It's richly supplied with nerves and blood vessels. It's able to form many different shapes and take up different positions in our mouths. The tongue is able to move, to compress, and to expand. And there are many examples of careful tongue control. A skilled opera singer positions her tongue carefully to produce perfect pitch in combination with her lungs, her throat, and her lips. A circus sword swallower puts a sharp blade on the floor of his mouth and holds it there without drawing blood. And you and I chew our food regularly, but very seldom do we bite our own tongue. The tongue is also a critical organ for speech, together with the lips and the teeth and the hard and soft palates, the larynx, and the lungs. So important, congregation, is the tongue for speaking that we refer to languages often as being tongues. When James writes in chapter 3 about the tongue, the reading we heard earlier, he expands on his earlier statement in chapter 1, verse 26 of James, the book, when he says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." He's referring there to the ability to control what we say, and also by implication, how we say it. Consider this. When the skilled opera singer comes home and finds her husband has not picked up his clothes off the bedroom floor, she lets rip with her mouth. The sword swallower unexpectedly is told by the circus that it's closing down and he's going to be out of work. And he swears at the ringmaster in uncontrolled rage. Or when you and I finish eating our dinner and then use corrupting talk, speak slander, or talk foolishly to one another. The good news is that when we come to Christ in repentance and faith, he gives to us a new voice. And we need to put on this new voice every day. And that's what this sermon is all about. As we've seen over the past few weeks from the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is using a word picture in this section of changing clothes to describe the pattern of life of the unconverted self in contrast to the new self created in Christ. There's a summary verse about this there in verse 24 of chapter 4. "Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And so this clothing of the new self is the restored image of God in people like you and me. And in our text, Paul describes a number of items of character clothing which make up the new self in contrast to those which are only fitting for the old self. And I've chosen to organize the items of character clothing into three groups and to focus on each one of these in turn in different messages from that text in Ephesians 4, 25 to 5:17. And those three categories or types of clothing are attitude, speech, and behavior. Last week we looked at a new attitude. This week we're looking at a new voice. And the next time I preach on this series, we'll be looking at new behavior in Christ. So let's focus our attention then firstly on the speech which characterizes the old self under the heading, the old tongue. Did you know that the average human, or rather the length of the average human tongue is 100 millimeters, that's about 4 inches? It's not a large organ, and yet it has a huge effect in life. As James wisely states, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things, James 3:5. James uses three images to demonstrate how small the human tongue is in comparison to its huge effect. A small piece of metal in the soft part of the mouth of a horse, a bit, is used to direct the powerful muscular body of this large animal. Small rudder on a ship is used by the pilot to direct the large vessel. A small fire can spread quickly and burn down an entire forest. The tongue of the old self is described well by the words of James there in James 3:8. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so we're going to look now at the items of character clothing associated with the evil tongue of the old self from our text. And these items are firstly falsehood, that's in chapter 4, verse 25, corrupting talk, chapter 4, verse 29, clamor, chapter 4, verse 31, along with slander in the same verse, filthiness in chapter 5, verse 4, along with foolish talk and crude joking. So let's come firstly to falsehood. Falsehood is an intentionally false statement. It's a lie or a deception. And Paul writes there in verse 25, having put away falsehood. The English word pseudo is derived from the underlying Greek word translated falsehood here. Pseudo means not genuine, spurious, or a sham. The ninth commandment prohibits a pseudo witness, that is, someone who lies against others by speaking falsehood. And when we speak falsehood, we mirror the father of the old self, that is, Satan, who is the father not of truth, but of falsehood, the father of lies. And those who have been not made new creations in Christ display the fallen human condition of suppressing the truth about God, which is evident through the creation that he has made, and thereby they exchange the truth for a lie, Romans 1:25. Lying is part of the character clothing of the old self. And Paul writes then in verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Corrupting talk literally means rotten talk and includes any speech which defiles either the person who is being spoken to, the person who is being spoken about, or the person who is speaking themselves, or all three. Such talk includes vulgarity, gossip, it's discourteous, impertinent, insolent, disrespectful speech. In verse 31, we read, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put from you. Clamor here means to cry out, to bellow or to howl. It's associated with the old clothing of wrath and anger there in verse 31. In contrast to this, we read of the servant of the Lord and the prophet Isaiah, who will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. One of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ's character as revealed is that he did not quarrel, Matthew 12:19. Quarrel is the same word used by, or the word translated quarrel is the same word used by the apostle Paul when he, or rather by Luke as he describes the Apostle Paul in Acts 22. Paul had spoken to the people outside the army barracks in Jerusalem about his dramatic conversion to Christ. And the crowd then raised their voices and they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. He should not be allowed to live." And they were shouting, and that's our word quarrel, and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air. Clamor is quarrelsome, contentious shouting, and it is not fitting for the new self. Slander is another character clothing item related to speech, and Paul refers to it there in verse 31. To slander someone is to bring ill repute, to defame, or to speak evil of them. It is malicious misrepresentation. Slander defames and harms the reputation of others. Slander destroys or discredits another person's good name by speaking evil of them. Gossip is closely related to slander. In fact, it's been called passive slander by some. Gossipers are willing for people to be hurt as they pass along dishonest and harmful information about others. The Bible commentator Matthew Henry has written, "We must not go up and down as talebearers, carrying ill-natured stories to the prejudice of our neighbor's good name and the destruction of brotherly love." Sadly, some Christians, especially over the past few weeks, have been guilty of slander against politicians and other public figures. This is not walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which Christians have been called. Final verse that we're going to look at in relationship to the old tongue is there in chapter 5, verse 4, where we read, "Let there be no foolishness, nor foolish talk, sorry, filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place." Filthiness means indecent, dishonorable, inappropriate, ugly, shameful, base, or disgraceful. Here it describes improper speech. Foolish talk is speech which betrays that the speaker themselves is foolish. Not someone who is mentally deficient, that's not the meaning here, but rather someone who is morally lacking because he or she ignores God's revealed will in his word. Crude joking literally means to turn easily. It refers to making quick replies, comebacks, or quips with clever words. The purpose of such turning of speech is to be funny, but it's accomplished in a way which is deceptive, coarse, or vulgar. One commentator has written that sometimes such crude joking is lodged in a sly question, a smart answer, or in cunningly diverting or cleverly rejecting or retorting to an objection. Good, godly humor is possible, but it's not easy to practice. At times we can sense that the joking of a brother or sister is a little bit off. It's sort of funny. We may even laugh nervously, but we know that we've heard the speech characteristic of the old self, which is out of place on the lips of the child of God. The late American pastor and author Warren Riersbe has noted, "Two indications of a person's character are what makes him laugh or what makes her weep." In our earlier reading from Matthew 12, 33 to 37, we heard the wisdom of the Lord when he says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What we say and how we say it reveals much about who we really are. The tongue is very much tied to the heart. The corrupt communication of the old tongue with falsehood, corrupting talk, clamor, slander, filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking is out of place. It's not fitting for the new self, which is the restored image of God in a person. How have you found this brief look at the ugly tongue clothing of the old self? Have you perhaps spotted some items of clothing there that are familiar? Aspects, behaviors that you tend to put on from time to time, even though you know they are harmful both to you and to others. Do you agree with James that at times your tongue is untamed, a restless evil speaking forth deadly poison? Brothers and sisters, we need to throw out these useless old clothes, falsehood, corrupting talk, clamor, slander, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, and put on some new ones. Which brings us to our second point, and the new tongue. You will have no doubt noticed that some people talk more than others. When I'm preaching like this, I use a little over 100 words per minute. So for an average length sermon, it's about 3,000 words. It's been calculated that the average person in an average day speaks in excess of 10,000 words. That's more than three sermons worth. Working this out using simple arithmetic, that results in about 70,000 words per week, 3.64 million words per year, or around about 250 million words in the average person's lifetime. For most of us, brothers and sisters, friends, we do a lot of talking. We have plenty of opportunities, brothers and sisters, to display the character clothing of the new self when we talk. Our tongues, though small in size, can give great glory to God through wise choices about what we say and how we say it. Three items of Christ-like wardrobe, if you will, are identified in our text. Speaking the truth, talking in such a way that our words build up others, and using language which expresses thanksgiving. And we're going to look at each one of these in turn now. We'll start with speaking the truth. In verse 25, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And those words, "each one of you speak truth with his neighbors," are a quote from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. The time in the Old Testament before the exile in Babylon was a time when the nation of Israel were ungodly for much of their history. And on their return to the promised land after their captivity in Babylon, they're called by God's prophet Zechariah to live righteous lives in which the truth is always spoken. And so, brothers and sisters, we likewise are to be truth tellers. We're to bear the image of our Creator, who is the God of truth, Isaiah 65:16. We're called to imitate Christ, who is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. We're to put on true righteousness so that each one of us is known both in the church and in the world as being a person whose word is their bond. It is generally not wise in every circumstance to tell everybody absolutely everything about a person, a situation, or a subject. That would take an unhelpfully large amount of time in most cases. It can also be unnecessary and overburdening for the listener. It can be inappropriate to speak truths which are of a private nature, for example, about our marriage, our family or church life, to others outside. However, we must be careful to ensure that we do speak the truth in sufficient and appropriate detail so that we do not deceive others by withholding information which needs to be disclosed. The wisdom which God provides through His Word and by His Spirit is necessary for us to know how much to say in any given situation when we speak the truth. In an unbelieving world full of fake news, disinformation, propaganda, lies, deceit, and falsehood, we are to glorify the Lord by always speaking the truth. The new truth-speaking tongue is a tongue that has been tamed by Christ. It's no longer a restless evil, but a calm instrument, wisely used for doing good to others. Proverbs 15:23 wisely observes, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." Whilst the old tongue spews forth corrupting talk, which breaks others down, the new tongue speaks truth and grace, which builds others up. And that's the gospel reality that Paul expresses there in verse 29 when he writes, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The Greek word translated building up literally means to construct or erect a dwelling. It's a metaphor here, and it means to build up, to establish, to confirm, to edify other people. You might remember that we saw earlier in Ephesians chapter 4 a few weeks ago how Christ gives shepherds and teachers to his church in order to equip the saints for works of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ, same word. The church grows when her body parts put on the speech of the new self, as Paul explains there in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, where he writes, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So what exactly are we to build up when we speak to one another? We're to build up the Christ-like character in one another. We are to serve others by helping them also to put on the new self through careful choices, both of the words we speak and the way we speak them. We are to speak like the Lord Jesus Christ. He only ever used his tongue to speak truth in such a way that grace flowed out from his mouth. For example, Christ's words, which we read earlier from Matthew chapter 12, where he speaks a warning about the future, saying, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." Truth is spoken there by Christ, which conveys the grace of a warning, so that those with ears to hear will turn in repentance and faith and be spared the eternal death, the separation from God, which the sinner who uses words carelessly deserves. How well do you control your tongue? How carefully do you choose your words? Author John Bunyan writes about the character Talkative in the classic Christian book Pilgrim's Progress. Talkative was a man who spoke well, but his life did not measure up to his talk. He could be described as a saint abroad and a devil at home. He sounded like a passionate pilgrim when he spoke, but his life looked better from a distance than it did close up. Mr. Talkative was a hypocrite. His tongue was not really tamed at all, because his heart, you see, had not yielded to Christ as Lord. Whoever we are, however many words we speak in a day, we all need Christ. We all need Christ. Because not one of us, brothers and sisters, friends, not one of us has been able to fully tame, fully control our own tongues. In contrast to this sobering reality, Peter describes the speech of Christ this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Speaking of Jesus, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ Jesus could have spoken many true words to defend himself when he was being questioned, firstly by the high priest and then by Pontius Pilate. In John 18, it's recorded. But instead, he said very little and fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah had written many years before. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Christ gives grace to all who will hear his words. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Congregation, let not your hearts be troubled by the standard that we have heard this morning. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus calls, using the words of grace and truth, calls all who will listen to believe in him. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, Christ says. Believe that Jesus is the only perfect man with a tongue that always spoke truth and grace, that Jesus Christ is the one, the Son of God, who died in a place of people like you and me, whose tongues are naturally a restless evil full of deadly poison. Believe that he bore the judgment of God against your sin, your falsehood, your corrupting talk, your clamor, your slander, your filthiness, your foolish talk, your crude joking. Believe that in him you are a new creation, that you are no longer bound to speak in the ways that you once did, that you've been set free, your tongue, if you will, has been set free in Christ. Believe that this Lord can and does tame tongues. He tames our tongues, brothers and sisters, as we daily put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This leads us then to the final item of character clothing which relates to speech, and it is this: thanksgiving. Look at chapter 5, verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude for favor and for mercy which has been shown. We thank God for the gift of a new voice in Christ. Thanksgiving has been the main type of tongue that I have heard over the past few weeks of lockdown from you all. It's been so encouraging to hear the thankfulness of our congregation expressing gratitude for the many blessings which we've received from the Lord. Such speech demonstrates, brothers and sisters, this putting on of the new self. It demonstrates that. Praise God. It's very attractive character clothing because you see it reflects the beauty of Christ and glorifies God, whose word is true and who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Brothers and sisters, let us keep putting aside the old garments of falsehood, of corrupting talk, of clamor, of slander, of filthiness, of foolish talk, of crude joking, and put on the new clothes of truth speaking, of talking in such a way that our words build others up, using language which expresses thanksgiving to Christ for, amongst other blessings, taming our tongues so that they may speak of his glory. Congregation, use that small muscle on the floor of your mouth to do great things for Christ. Amen.